The creation. Did you ever wonder how the earth was made and how fish and birds and animals and men happened to be here upon the earth? Thousands of years ago, people were just as curious as we are today. They asked their leader, who was probably Moses, to tell them how the earth was made and how fish and birds and animals and men came to be here. The story which he told to the people thousands of years ago about the way the earth was formed is the very first story in the Bible, and this is the way it goes. In the beginning, there was only God. God was the maker of the universe. He desired a beautiful world in which he could see himself expressed. And having decided it would be nice to have a universe, God began to plan what it should be like. At first, the earth was without form and void. Void means empty. Then the stuff out of which it was to be made drew together and took shape. But it was covered with water, and there was darkness everywhere. God was pleased that his earth had begun to take form, but he was not happy about the darkness. So he said, "Let there be light." And when God said, "Let there be light," there was light. When God saw the light, he saw that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. All of this great beginning of the earth happened on the first day. As yet, the earth was still covered with water, and there was no dry land anywhere. God saw that he must get rid of some of this water, but he didn't waste it. He knew, because he was planning everything so carefully, that he could use the extra water that lay on top of the earth. God used the extra water to make clouds in the sky. This made a lovely, soft ceiling for the earth. And God called this lovely ceiling heaven. All this happened on the second day. Now the deep water no longer covered the entire earth, but there was so much water in the ground and under the ground, it was like a miserable swamp. So God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And when God said this, the water ran off the earth to form oceans and seas, and the dry land appeared. Now the earth was beginning to look like something. Light had taken the place of darkness part of the time, so that there was day and night. Clouds had formed in the sky to make the heavens, and the oceans and dry land had separated and taken definite forms. But the earth was without color. It lacked beauty. And God saw that this need not be, for the earth was a perfect place upon which things might grow. "Let the earth bring forth grass," God said. "Let the earth bring forth grass and herbs and flowers and fruit trees." And when God said this, green grass appeared on the earth, and herbs yielding seeds, and red and blue and yellow and pink flowers, and fruit trees of all shapes and sizes. All this happened on the third day. God saw that all this was good, but he saw that the trees and herbs and flowers and grass needed more direct light if they were to grow and be healthy. So God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, or sky, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." So the rays of the sun shone upon the earth to give it light in the daytime, and the rays of the moon shone upon it during the night. These were the two big lights God wanted. The stars also shone upon the earth at night, giving light as well as beauty to everyone who would ever stand beneath them. This was the fourth day. God was pleased, but there was more to be done. Nothing moved on the earth. It was time for something living in the ocean and seas, and something flying around in the air. So God made fish for the oceans and seas. Big fish, little fish, pretty fish, and plain gray fish. And birds began to appear in the skies. Big birds, little birds, pretty birds, and plain gray birds. God did this on the fifth day. Now the oceans and seas were filled with fish, and the air was filled with birds. But there was nothing moving upon the dry land. So God next made animals. Big animals, little animals, pretty animals, and plain gray animals. God even thought of making snakes and worms. He thought of everything. The earth was now ready for men and women to live upon it. So God decided to make a creature who would be something like himself, a creature who would rule over everything upon the earth. This creature was man. God blessed the man and woman he created and gave them rule over all the things of the earth. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So the heavens and the earth were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day. And God blessed the seventh day, and made it holy. The Garden of Eden. The Bible tells us that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Then we have another story of how men and women came to be upon the earth. This story is also in the Bible. It tells us that when God had prepared the earth and made it a beautiful place in which man could live, God took some of the dust of the earth and out of it formed a man. Then he lovingly breathed the breath of life into the form he had created, and man became a living soul. God called this first man Adam, and he put Adam in a beautiful garden which had been especially prepared for him. This place was called the Garden of Eden. Everything here was beautiful and colorful. The tree of life was in the center of the garden, and there, too, was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Besides, there were all kinds of fruit trees, so Adam would be supplied with plenty of food. God told Adam to eat freely of every fruit in the garden, except of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The fruit of this one tree was forbidden. Adam thought this was perfectly all right. There was so much other fruit, he didn't need to touch that of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God knew that Adam would become lonely if he were left all alone in the Garden of Eden, but he thought perhaps the animals would keep him company. So he sent all the animals to visit Adam. As they visited him one by one, Adam gave names to each one, and he liked them and was glad to have them near. But he was still lonely. When God saw this, he decided to make a woman to be a companion to Adam. So God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. And while he slept, God opened up his side and took out one of his ribs. Then God closed Adam's side, and it was just as if nothing had happened to it. And out of Adam's rib, God made the first woman. When Adam woke and saw the woman God had created, he was happy, for he knew that he would never be lonely again. Adam named the first woman Eve. Adam explained carefully to Eve that God allowed them to eat the fruit of all the trees in the Garden of Eden, except the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eve agreed with him that there was no reason why they should touch the fruit of that tree when they had so much other good fruit. And so Adam and Eve obeyed the law of God, and they were both very happy. Then, one day, a serpent, a snake, came up to Eve. He waited until he had her attention, and then he went over to the tree of knowledge.
"Why don't you eat some of the fruit from this tree, Eve?" he asked.
"Adam and I are not allowed to eat the fruit of that tree," said Eve.
"Ah, what are you afraid of, Eve?" the serpent teased. "Don't you know that if you eat some of this fruit, you will become very, very smart? If you eat some of the fruit from this tree of knowledge, you will be as smart as God."
"I'd like to be as smart as God," said Eve. Suddenly, she reached out and pulled some of the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She took some for herself and some for Adam. "Adam," she called, "come here. We're going to eat some of this fruit." "I don't think we should touch that fruit. God told us not to." But Eve talked and talked until she finally persuaded Adam to eat the fruit. The serpent stayed right there, watching every bite Adam and Eve took. He had said they would be as smart as God when they had eaten it. But they weren't. When Adam and Eve had finished eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they had learned only one thing. They had learned unhappiness. God had given them the power to choose. If they chose to obey his law, they would continue to have all kinds of good. If they chose to disobey, they would lose the good things of life. Suddenly, Adam and Eve were ashamed. When they heard God in the garden, they hid themselves. But God knew that they were hiding because they were ashamed, and he called to them. "Adam," he called, "have you eaten fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil?" Adam didn't like to take the blame, so he said, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat it." Then God asked Eve why she had done this. Eve didn't want to take the blame either. So she said, "It was the serpent who made me do wrong. It was the serpent who tempted me." Then God told the serpent that because it had tempted Eve, it would forever have to crawl along the ground. As for Adam and Eve, since they had chosen to disobey God's law, they had to leave the Garden of Eden. After that, they had to search forever for the goodness and happiness they had lost. The Story of Noah and the Ark. There were many people living on the earth in Noah's time, but of all the people there, Noah and his family were the only ones who tried to live with love in their hearts. All the other people were filled with bad thoughts and selfishness. And this badness needed to be cleaned out, washed away. Since Noah and his family were so good, God spoke to him and warned Noah that a flood was coming to wash the earth clean.
Noah, try to get the people to change. Try to make them to give up their bad ways. Try to teach them to love each other.
Noah did try to talk to the people, but they only laughed at him. So God said to Noah, since the people will not change, and there is so much badness upon the earth, a flood will come upon it to wash it clean. So you must build an ark, Noah. Then when the flood comes, you and your family can enter the ark and in it find safety.
You say I'm to build an ark, God? What is an ark? Asked Noah.
An ark is a house that will float on water, God replied. It is a kind of houseboat. Then God told Noah to make the ark of gopher wood and line it with pitch inside and out to make it waterproof. All along the top of the ark was to be a window, and there was to be a door on the side. The ark was to be 3 stories high and was to be divided into rooms. God told Noah to store a lot of food in the ark, and he told Noah to take in 2 of every animal and 2 of every bird and 2 of everything that creeps. Noah built the ark carefully, just as God had instructed, and then he and his sons gathered in all the animals. Just as they had finished, and Noah and his family had entered the ark, it began to rain. It rained and rained and rained. And the water around the ark got higher and higher and higher until finally the ark was floating on top of the water and there was no land visible anywhere. For 40 days and nights it rained. And even after it stopped, the water covered the land everywhere. And Noah and his family and all the animals with them had to stay in the ark.
I wonder if there is dry land anywhere, said Noah. I think I'll try to find out.
So he sent out a raven to fly around above the water. He knew if there were dry land anywhere, the raven would go to it. But the raven just flew back and forth, back and forth. It couldn't find dry land anywhere. Then Noah sent a dove out to fly over the water. But the dove just flew around and around, round and around. It couldn't find dry land either. Noah waited for 7 days. Then he sent the dove out again. And this time, the dove was gone for quite a while. When it returned, it had an olive leaf in its beak. Then Noah knew that the dove had found the top of an olive tree sticking up out of the water. And if the top of a tree was sticking up out of the water was slowly going down. 7 days later, Noah sent the dove out for the 3rd time. And this time, the dove did not come back at all. Then Noah knew that the water was going down quickly. And sure enough, the water kept going down and down until at last the ark rested on the top of a mountain with solid ground all around it. It rested on Mount Ararat. But Noah didn't open the door of the ark. He wouldn't let anyone go out, for he knew that the ground was still so filled with water it was like a swamp. Had anyone stepped upon it, he would have sunk down into it, maybe over his head. Noah waited a month before he opened the door of the ark. Then, one sunshiny day, he called his wife and his sons' wives, and his daughters' husbands, and told them they could leave the ark. They were so happy they ran out and sang and shouted and danced and laughed. Noah let out the animals, too, and they ran into the woods, happy to be free again. But Noah had not forgotten that it was God who had brought him and his family and the animals through the flood and kept them safe. And he wanted to thank God and show how grateful he was. So he built an altar of stones and made a fire upon it and then put meat upon the fire. As the smoke went up into the sky, Noah knelt down and thanked God for his protection and goodness. God heard Noah's prayer of thanksgiving and spoke to him. You are a good and faithful man, Noah, said God. I will always be with you and with all the people of the earth to protect you all. And as a sign that I will always protect you, I will set my bow in the cloud. Noah looked up into the sky and saw God's sign that he would always protect the people of the earth. It was a beautiful rainbow of many colors stretched across the heavens. God's bow, set in a cloud, The Tower of Babel. After the great flood, there came to be many, many people on the earth again. These people all spoke the same language, and so they all stayed together, moving from one place to another over the land. When they came to the land of Shinar, they liked it so well they decided to stay there. Until now, they had pitched tents wherever they stopped and had not lived in houses. But since they had decided to stay in Shinar, they thought it would be nice to build a city of brick houses. This was an exciting idea. But even more exciting was their decision to build a tower which would reach to heaven. Now God saw what they were doing and was not pleased. So he decided to confuse them by making them talk in different ways. Suddenly, as they worked together building the tower, the people began to talk in different languages. Each one spoke in a different way. And since no one understood the others, it seemed to each one that everyone else was just babbling. Each man stopped working and ran around trying to find someone who spoke as he did. When he found another speaking the same language, he'd grab him and say, "You and I talk alike. Since we can understand each other, we'd better stay together." Then these two would search for others who spoke as they did. In this way, different groups were formed, each group speaking a different language. And because the different groups couldn't understand the speech of the others, some went north, some south, some east, and some west. In this way, the whole earth was peopled. As for the tower, it was never finished. And since that time, it has been referred to as the Tower of Babel, because as the people were building it, they suddenly began to babble. Abraham, the father of a great nation. To one of those families who had descended from Noah was born a boy named Abram. From the time he was a little fellow, Abram spent a great deal of time out of doors. He loved to be alone in the woods, for he felt he could talk to God at such times. When Abram grew up, he married a beautiful young woman named Sarai. Abram and Sarai hoped they might have a large family, for they loved children. But no children were born to them. Then Abram's brother died, and Abram and Sarai took his son, Lot, to live with them. Lot came to be so like their very own, they felt that God had answered their prayer for a son. One day, God told Abram to leave the place where he was living and to make his home in a new place. Abram had a pioneer spirit within him, and this idea was exciting. So he took his wife and his nephew Lot, and Lot's wife and their servants and possessions, and started out. When they came to the land of Canaan, God said to Abram, "This is the land I will give to your family someday." And Abram built an altar there to God. Abram loved this place and felt he would be contented to stay there forever. But a famine came upon the land. There was no food for Abram and his family or for their cattle and sheep. So Abram took them all to Egypt for a while, before returning to the place where he had built the altar. By this time, both Abram and Lot were rich men. They had cattle, as well as silver and gold. They had the finest tents that money could buy, and they had many servants. In fact, they had so many that Abram's servants began to quarrel with Lot's servants. Abram saw that it would be necessary to divide up the land so that each would have a share in which to house his family, his servants, and his possessions.
"I'll ask Lot to look at the land with me, and I'll let him choose the land he would like to have."
So Abram led Lot to the high place where he could see all over the country.
"Look before you, Lot," said Abram, "and choose what you would like to have. If you take to the left, I'll take to the right. But if you take to the right, I'll take to the left."
Lot saw that the land of the plain was the richest and finest.
"I'll take the land of the plain that lies along the River Jordan," he said.
Naturally, Abram was disappointed that Lot had chosen the rich land he would like to have had for himself, but he gave the land to Lot with his blessing. Then God said, "Look to the north, Abram, and look to the south, to the east, and to the west. All that you see, and as far as you can see, I give you. You are to have more than just this little place here. You are to have all the land for as far as you can see. Walk through it from one end to the other, and you will see that you are rich in land." Abram found that God's gift was indeed a very great one. But even more important was the promise that God made him a short time after this. For God promised Abram that he would have a son of his own, and that his son would have many children, and that all these children would have many children. In fact, God promised that Abram was to be the father of a very great nation. And God changed his name to Abraham, which means Father of a Multitude. God also changed his wife's name from Sari to Sarah, which means princess or noble lady. The story of Lot's wife. Abraham and Lot had separated, each taking a section of land as his own. Lot and his wife went to live in the city of Sodom, and when their daughters were grown, several of them married young men of that city. All was well with Lot, except that he was upset by the way the people of Sodom thought and acted. They did not live in the right way. This disturbed him, yet he continued to stay there. Then one evening, Lot had a strange experience. Two men, whom he believed to be angels, came to him and told him that the city of Sodom was so full of wickedness it was going to be destroyed. They asked Lot if he had any relatives in the city and advised, if he had, that he warn them to leave the first thing in the morning. Lot went to his daughter's husbands and told them what the angels had said. But they wouldn't believe him. They insisted that he must be teasing, and nothing he could say would persuade them. The two angels stayed with Lot that night. Early in the morning, they wakened him and told him to dress quickly. You must take your wife and your two unmarried daughters and get out of the city before you are destroyed with it. Escape for your life, and do not look behind you, they warned. So Lot and his family hurried away from the city of Sodom and started toward the little town of Zoar, where they would be safe. Even as they were hurrying along, things began to happen in the city of Sodom. Fire and brimstone rained upon the city. The smoke of the country went up like smoke of a furnace. The angels had said that Lot and his family were to hurry off as fast as possible, and that none of them were to look back. Lot and his two daughters obeyed this command, but Lot's wife did not. She looked back upon the city of Sodom to see what was happening there, and because she looked back, she was turned to a pillar of salt.